I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen.
When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either.
Now I'm awake.
You girls will serve the leaders and their barren wives. You will bear children for them.
There's an eye in your house.
I want to keep on living for her.
Do not let them grind you down. You fight.
They should have never given us uniforms if they didn't want us to be an army.
Heresy. That's what you get punished for. No! Not for being part of the resistance. Because officially, there is no resistance. Not for helping people escape. Because officially, there's no such thing as escape.
You working hard?
Yes. If I'm going to change things, I'm going to need allies. Allies with power.
Blessed be the fruit.
Hi.
You seem like you'd be good at influencing people.
Nice girl like you in a place like this.
Give me
as Mrs. Waterford, you have influence. Up to a point. Some of the point. At least there's still hope if I'm here. Now Mom's got work.
The humankind.
All right, so, well, actually, welcome to episode 9. I think this is episode 9. Hopefully this is episode 9. Otherwise, I sound a bit stupid. But Cotter is with me on this episode. She's back!
We're back with a vengeance, baby.
Just literally played you the trailer from The Handmaid's Tale, and there's a reason why we played it. We're going to get into all sorts of different topics to do with, obviously, what's going on right now in the world, but also women's topics. But this will be a good listen for men too, because, you know, it's good to hear our side, but also, you know, you've got wives and
your wives and yeah. Sisters and daughters and everything like that.
Exactly. So we're gonna try and make sure we're not going on for too long, but we will see how long this goes for, and try and keep it to the topics we want to talk about. But in terms of the reason why I want to play Handmaid's Tale, and also Kota's gonna, she's done a little bit of looking into exactly what it's about. There might be some people listening that know what it's about, but for me, it's a massive another predictive programming. What should I say? I can't really call it propaganda, but I guess visual.
Oh, no, it is.
A visual.
It could definitely be. Yes, that too. But it could be taken as propaganda with all the, I mean, the symbolism, the predictive programming in it, the underlying messages that they're trying to push.
Yeah, for sure. It's a pretty good watch. I started watching it when I came over to Florida when my niece was born, because we don't have Hulu here. Can you believe that?
Interesting.
We don't have Hulu, so I was watching it there, and I mean, I liked it, and I could, you know, it was dark, and I was like, this is weird. But when you look back at it now, everything is like everything from the masks on the faces to the fact that a lot of the scenes were at the Capitol, and they were filmed there as well in DC, I think it was in DC. It's something that is definitely worth looking at. The thing is that people know already, well, mostly the people that are listening, but if you know, if you're new to listening, they use these films and series to kind of, what would you say, like, dumb you down and make you think that things are fiction and they're not. Was that the best way to put it?
Yeah, predictive programming is, it's to prepare the public. It desensitizes the public for, you know, future events to happen. Familiarizing the public of planned events and social changes, specifically with this one, it'd be social changes. The whole premise of The Handmaid's Tale is having designated breeders for the elite, and, you know, to be served by slaves as if there were nothing more than a crop to be harvested. And it sounds dangerously familiar to, like, you know, what we're experiencing now with what's been shown in The Matrix, and the underlying message is always reverting back to some type of slavery. Mm-hmm. And it's a loss of rights and looking at the masses as cattle, as just sheep.
Yeah, because even though we've not really, you know, got to this point and everybody is in this position, which is what the show entails, there are women that are used like this. So in the actual series itself, the handmaids bear children because they're fertile for the barren wives of the elites. Now, all over the globe now, there are women in these situations that you don't know about that are being used to bear children for other purposes, not just for actually bringing up a child as a child and into an adult, but that's probably a whole other podcast. But
The undocumented and all that kind of stuff, the dumbs and all that, yeah.
John of God with his, like $40,000 a baby, using women as slaves to pump out children, babies. Anyway, as much as that's hard to stomach, obviously we have to talk about it and say that it's very real. It's not fake. It's not bullshit. So how Handmaid's Tale kind of ties into what I'm personally worried about, and you as well, Carter, it feels like it's becoming more and more real because they've given us this, or they're giving us this experimental drug, which is what it is, and we don't know what it's going to do. We've no idea what it's going to do.
Vaccine, you mean, right?
Right, yeah. Which is, if for anyone who's listening, who's not aware, this is not a vaccine. The only one that is technically a true vaccine is the Johnson & Johnson. All the others are mRNA, messenger RNA, and they don't have a live or dead virus in. So usually a true vaccine would have either live virus in so that you create antibodies. It would just be like a weakened version so that your body wouldn't have the full reaction. Or a dead virus. And this isn't that. This is something else, which is why, and it makes sense as to why it's not effective, and why Boris Johnson is saying you can't meet other people, even if you're fully vaccinated, why the WHO are saying that they don't know whether it's effective yet, so they're not going to do this passport thing, because they've rejected that, weirdly, which is weird. So it's not an actual vaccine. So the term they're using is a lie to begin with. People believe that it's gonna fix all of this because they're so desperate to get back to normal.
I don't even understand that. Like, what's the point of getting it if you know that it's not even, that you can't even go see people? If it's not gonna change anything, why even get it?
It's a good point.
Like, what? What's the science behind that, or the argument behind that?
What mental so gymnastics stupid. Have you got to do to get there? I guess the main one, I guess, is virtue signaling, which is so sad. It's the picture on social media. I've seen it all over. of the vaccination card, and the please do this, please go get it when it's your turn, and
gotta get my free Dunkin' Donuts,
right? All of that. What's all that about? Some people genuinely must be like absolutely terrified. In personal experience, my godmother. Well, I've got two godmothers, but one of my godmothers, who I absolutely adore, she's had it, and I adore both of them, but she's had it because she's worried that she can't, without having it, she's not going to protect her mom, who's a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And I don't know how you get... the thing is that we know what it is and what it isn't, and what it does and doesn't do, but they don't. They actually don't know. And I know that, you know, Boris and the WHO are turning around and saying, oh, it's not effective. I don't think they're listening to that either. I think it's like, you know, fingers in their ears, la, 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 la. I'm not listening to that bit because I've had the jab and it's going to work.
And it also goes against the media narrative, too, that the big man on TV is telling me. And, you know, I don't want to listen to just one argument. I want to be safe and secure in what I think that I know.
Right.
Which I understand it, but it's like, my God, do some research.
Yeah. I don't know whether people don't want to or whether people are scared to, because I think some people in that situation would think, I don't even want to look. You know when you're like at the top of the roller coaster and like you don't want to look down because you know what's...
I don't even want to know. I'm just going to blindly trust in science. Because that's my religion. I believe in science. Yeah, it's so stupid. But, so what do you want to get into? You want to get into the infertility? You want to get into predictive programming a little bit more?
Well, in terms of, like, why we've brought up The Handmaid's Tale is because... And it's just been a hunch for me. Like, it's been on my mind this whole time. And obviously not all films and series has come to real life, but this one for me just sticks. I don't know why, and I've talked so many times on podcasts about gut feeling and intuition, so I want to explore that. The reason why I believe that this may actually honestly happen is because if you think about now, we're thinking about saving the vulnerable, and we're thinking about, well, let's go into like the perspective of someone who truly believes that COVID is a massive threat and we need to fix it. If you go into the minds of those people, we're trying to protect the vulnerable, right? And we're trying to get back to normal. Well, imagine if this, which is where I'm going with this experimental drug causes infertility on a massive scale, not just all the other side effects that it's given, but the reason why it's being given and why you're being coerced and why you're being pressured and put into this position is because it makes you infertile. And you're like, oh, well, why would they want to do that? Well, they want to depopulate. So the easiest way...
Population.
Yeah, the easiest way that that's going to happen is... And the easiest way to do it without killing people openly in front of your face, because they do it, you know... Subtly.
That would scare the public. That would terrify the public. That would create mass panic. They've got to do it in a way that's they've got to dumb down the population enough, which they've already done a fantastic job at, because there's very few far between people who actually research. But once they have the public dumbed down, they can put whatever they want in your food, in the air, in the water, in the vaccines that they want to shoot you up with. Mm-hmm. And if they take away your right to reproduce, what, it's going to take like 20 years for you know, the world to be depopulated by like what, like 20%? Like, it's an insane number.
Yeah.
Elon Musk was talking about that a couple of months ago, how he fears. Bill Gates was saying that they're going to have an issue with overpopulation, which would give him the argument to, you know, try to depopulize, or, you know how China has like that one child system. And whereas Elon Musk, I don't really necessarily like the guy, but he was like, he counter-argued that and was saying that, no, in about 20 years, we're going to be facing, a loss of the population, a huge hit in it. And that's going to throw everything off balance. It's like taking like wolves out of like an ecosystem. There was a thing going on in California a while ago, and wolves, when there was like a huge depopulation of the wolves out there. And when the wolves went away, the whole ecosystem was off balance. You take out one key part and it's off balance, even by a few numbers. Mm-hmm. So imagine, I mean, just humans. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I don't think anybody could really see it.
It's kind of like the when people get upset about like hunting and whatnot, but you know, I won't get into the into the trophy hunting thing or whatever, but like, let's look at like deer hunting and how they're like, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. But if they didn't, there's certain places, especially here, that are controlled, you know, environments. If they didn't hunt, there would be too many deer, and it would destroy the environment and you know, the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. It has to have perfect balance. So
yeah, same thing here with alligators. That's how the American alligator species was brought back. They were almost extinct, and then as soon as they slapped regulations on it, the whole entire species came back, and it balanced out the ecosystem. It was very interesting to learn about that. But yeah, infertility.
Yeah, so touching back on like what potentially might happen, and the thing is that we don't know this. What was that? There was a headline that I sent you earlier, which was like, scientists are telling people that it just these COVID vaccines are not going to cause infertility, so don't worry about
The Guardian.
Literally. Oh, The Guardian.
Yeah, The Guardian posted that. Yes, and it's like, okay, people don't even read. Yeah, exactly. And people don't even read articles. They're just spouting out bullshit headlines because that's what people see, and then that stays in their subconscious. It's like predictive programming. It is predictive programming, but it's also just predictive programming can come in the form of like ads. When they're tailored to certain, you know, each individual, how you get, you know, your Netflix recommendations, that all ties under the big category of predictive programming. Mm-hmm. Especially with American media, specifically like the high budget movies and stuff like that. That's what it's used for. It's to, you know, familiarize the public. It's to desensitize the public. There's a really good lecture. It's by Karin Ferrari, Karin, K-A-R-I-N. I believe she's German, but she's on YouTube too. I found this on YouTube, which was pretty cool. But she talks about, it's like a 40-minute video. She talks about predictive programming, and she goes really deep into it. But she talks about how there's, you know, the conspiracy of elites who use dark magic to maintain their hierarchy. And they've got like this master plan for the human race and how they want to depopulize us. And it was a fantastic lecture on the depopulation. Mm-hmm. And,
I'll pop that in the podcast. I'll pop the link in if you send me over the link, and then people can check
for
that
sure
out.
Yeah, it's really good. But it falls under there's a subcategory under predictive programming, and it's called mass manipulation, and that's where the advertising, the ads, and all that, the personal tailor and stuff like that comes into play. And they use simple terms as to not come off as sinister, because what's the saying? You don't ever want to show the sheep the knife, because then they start to panic. But until you come to the point where you're slaughtering the sheep and they have no fucking clue, they're calm, they're cool, they're collected, mm-hmm. they don't give a care in the world.
Which is what we're seeing right now.
Exactly. It's a perfect analogy to what's going on right now with humanity worldwide. It's insane.
Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we don't know. No scientist knows, like, just because it says in an article that the scientists have said so, no freaking person can know what this is going to do. Now, I don't know whether I've mentioned it in a podcast or not, but I will mention it again. When they did the trials with animals for the mRNA shot, they did it on ferrets and they did it on cats. They gave them all the shot, and then they reintroduced a SARS virus. It wasn't COVID-19, but it's a similar thing, right? We have coronavirus like all the time. When they reintroduced that virus, every single animal died. Not one, not two, not 50%, not 70%. Every single animal died. Obviously,
and that was post-vaccination?
Yeah, so they had the shot, and then they came in with the actual live virus. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know the time frame. But, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I wonder what's going to happen next.
You know, you remember when Bill and his husband, Melinda, were sat there, and, like, he said, maybe the next one is going to catch their attention. You remember that?
Yes. Yes.
That's what...
And they want to vaccinate everybody first. And it's like, what the fuck is the point of oh my God.
So we think that we're through the hardest part. We've not even touched the hardest part yet. We're going to find that... And this isn't...
But Ray, nothing's happening.
Nothing. No, it's all fine. Everyone's fine. We're going to go to the pub next week. We're going to have a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. It's going to be fine. But
God.
The thing is, I don't want this to be fear porn. I don't want this to upset people, but I want to be able to lay it out as being like, this is potentially, you don't know either way. And what's going on at the minute is very, very strange. It's strange from all the celebrities telling you to take this thing. Strange from even the video that I posted earlier where they were like, statistically, you're more likely to die from a blood clot from having the vaccine than die of COVID-19, but take the vaccine anyway. What?
Okay, science.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So they're being oh, it's okay, it's very minimal, this risk, but they weren't like that when it came to COVID. They put it all over the TV every day about COVID. And once you see that, I think maybe if I was to show some of my friends that and explain that separately and show them how they've hyped up something that's less risky. It's less risky to die of COVID or to get COVID and die than it is to die from the vaccine that you're having. So, yeah, I think that as time goes by, what's going to be really painful for me to see is people who've already had this thing and are realizing the aftermath and the consequences of having it, because it's not just it's not just the side effects a week or two later, it's the side effects a year or two later,
and it's also what they're planning. I mean, what you just said, I mean, that I can't stop thinking about that, because it's like, if I was some big asshole elite dude and I wanted to fucking rule the world and everything, I mean, just thinking back to what Bill and Melinda said, holy shit, dude, the next one will catch their attention. Well, there is no next one as of yet, but what are they doing now? What have they done from the beginning was fear porn us. It was nothing but, it was always on the TV every single day. And then now it's like, okay, you get to save grandma now if you get the vaccine, which isn't really a vaccine, but if you get a bunch of jabs in your skin and everything, everything's going to be fine. And it's very interesting to think okay, maybe in a year from now, 6 months, a year, 2 years, however long it's going to take, where most of the population has gotten these jabs, then they would release something different that would, people would be susceptible to. That would be the easiest, bing, bing. We dumbed down the public. They ate our shit for breakfast and boom, we got what we wanted type of deal. That's so cut and clean and easy to do. Holy shit. Wow.
I'm gonna play the Bill and Melinda. I'm gonna find the Bill and the Melinda video and I'm gonna play it now so that people can hear it and they're not just taking my word for it.
Very quickly, in a few countries that have almost avoided the epidemic entirely, Taiwan, New Zealand, Australia, they took their experience and actually prepared, and so they moved a lot faster. So we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, I'd say is will get attention this time.
That's perfect.
That was them saying that. So going back to The Handmaid's Tale and how this all interlinks, where are we at with potential, what are they doing to make us less fertile and why? And obviously we've gone over the depopulation agenda. They're going to try and, this is the thing about the AstraZeneca, the hole in the AstraZeneca now in children, because it can cause clots in young people. Well, it's causing clots in old people, but does that matter? No, because I guess once you're past 70, you're not a worker anymore. So, I mean, you can just go die, is basically what they're saying, which is funny. Dude, because
that's how all society looks at that. Keep going. I'm sorry.
It's funny because they pinned the whole marketing propaganda on saving your grandmother, but they do not give a single shit if your grandmother dies of a side effect from the vaccine or dies of a blood clot, because they're still giving this to the older people And I don't think a blood clot affects any age. I think a blood clot, I think more than likely it probably come when you're older. So think about that for a bit. Like, think about, why are they just holding it in younger people? And why are they not? And how have they found out that this thing causes blood clots? By experimentally using us, your grandparents, your mothers and fathers, your sisters and brothers, to just take it and be like, you're gonna go fix this if you do this. Oh, sorry, you got a blood clot. Well, oh well, you'll just be a statistic.
You're on death's door anyway, so I mean, you know, easy. Sorry, you were gonna die in 10 years anyway. Just because, okay, just a little analogy here, I guess, a little similarity. The car crash that I was involved in, that's still, it's still kind of going, so I can't talk too much about it, but it's, there was elderly people who were involved as well, and my lawyer was talking to me about how, you know, they, the judge looks at their ages, and they literally say, well, this person is on death's door, they're not going to live that much longer, so they're not going to get as much payout from it, because they don't have that much loss of life. And I was just, I just remember hearing that, and it just was a little bit off-putting, because it was like, oh, well, you know, it, same shit happened to them that happened to me. Like, I don't, you know, justice is justice. But when you put all those factors in, yeah, people don't give a shit how old you are. Or they give less of a shit the older you are, because you're going to die soon.
Right. And you can't be a worker for them anymore. So what good are you apart from...
exactly.
Driving around in your car very slowly and you know,
just a crop.
Being a tourist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. But that was really awful to hear. I'm not shocked though, to be honest. There was that article. I don't know who said it. It was some fucking absolute tosser. But it said something like, when she passed 76, that you should be ready to go out to pasture at that point. It's like, fuck off. Like, who do you think you are? I know old people that like have a much better time than us. Like,
oh my god, my grandfather's 84 and he's still riding motorcycles.
I like, love that.
Dude.
What a boss.
He can't hold it in his farts, but man, he can rip it on a Harley.
I fucking can't, so that's amazing.
Insane.
I love it. But before, I'm going to finish up on Handmaid's Tale now, because if anybody wants to go check it out, you can watch the trailer, but like Kota was saying, there's a lot of symbolism in there. The masks, the hangings, obviously we don't have hangings now, but I could see that happening, to be honest. At this point, like, they're creating this, especially over in the UK, they're saying, there's a lot of people that are saying, even if they don't necessarily think that you're sensible for not getting the vaccine, so let's say pro experimental drug people are even saying it's going to create a two-class system. Now, I've heard this a few times and I'm wondering whether it's actually genuinely what people are thinking or whether, again, it's more propaganda that people are parroting. And when I think about it, it's probably propaganda that people are parroting, because when we're talking about a two-class system, that's different to people who just can't have the vaccine. That's different to people who are medically exempt. That's not about class. So now I'm thinking about it, like, I feel like that this is going to be something that we hear more so about this class. And obviously, going back to Handmaid's Tale, there's the two-class system. People that don't want the vaccine, are they going to suffer more? Well, yeah, because they've already said that if you don't have it, you need to spend £200 on a COVID test to prove you're negative before you go to another country. So, essentially, you need to be able to afford to go on holiday at this point. It's going to create issues. But in The Handmaid's Tale, there's the lower class system. They actually take the children off the fertile women that they've already got as well. I don't actually remember where they go. But it's sinister when you think about it, because you think about child trafficking as well. So, like...
Oh, yeah. That's, oh, my God, yeah.
That's kind of diving into that realm. I think they're given new parents, which happens in child trafficking, if they're not killed or tortured or abused, which they sometimes get into, for example, fucking Justice Roberts. His kids are trafficked kids, as far as we're aware. So you've got that, and then you've got that they have to have children for these elites. And there's a lot of different stories spinning off from it, but they have to go to... I'm trying to write... When was my niece born? My niece was born 4 years ago, so I'm like racking my brains back to actually when I watched it. But they would use different terms from... I don't think it was from the Bible, but scripture. There's a lot of symbolism within
their own scripture.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like they had rewritten, like the Constitution was almost rewritten, but like even the religion was tweaked. And it was, they still believed in a God. I don't want to call it God because it wasn't our God, but it's kind of like how the tyrants of our today's world has fucked with our knowledge, with our Bible and everything, and how all these books were taken out of the Bible and stories were rewritten and stuff like that. Like, yes, there's enough truth in there for it to still hold power, but there's so much that's been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing that they did in there, just to, you know, keep an agenda going and to keep, you know, all the social changes and people at bay with their emotions. Yeah. What I think is crazy, though, is how the elite women are all infertile. Like, they have to have this need for cattle people, if you will, to have their children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a growing issue with infertility in today's day and age now. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember, like, how many were infertile from, like, 10 years ago. But there's just over 6 million men and women who are infertile today here just in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
According to the CDC, and that came out in 2019. But you want to get into infertility?
Yeah, just really quickly though, before we do, though, there's one thing in the show that they say, and it's under his eye, and it's just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we know which eye you're talking about. But yeah, we can finish there with The Handmaid's Tale. When we were looking up. You were looking up to do with infertility. It seems to be, and I think you've mentioned this before to me personally, but a lot of your friends from school around your age can't have kids or are struggling to have kids, at least.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, almost all the chick friends that I have, specifically the women, because, you know, my guy friends don't really talk to me about this kind of stuff. Plus, it's, you know, we have gynecologists. Yeah. We have to go see this bullshit every year.
Yeah, that's so weird. We don't have that here. For anyone in the US that doesn't know that, we don't have gynies. I mean, we do. We can go see one if we have issues, but we don't have someone we go to for checkups, apart from when we go for, like, when we hit 24 and we have to go have a pap smear every 4 years.
Really?
But we don't have that.
I think it's 20 for us, where we have to, like, have a pap smear every year. And it's like, no. No. Oh, I hate Big Pharma. But, it's, you know, the people around me, the women around me, it's ovary cysts. And then the polycystic ovary syndrome, which is actually the number one cause of infertility in women, especially in the United States. And it's... You know, when I went down this rabbit hole, it was a lot, because it's, you know, I wanted to get the difference between what Google was saying, what DuckDuckGo and Yandex and stuff like that was saying. And, you know, Google is like, oh, you know, it's a common health problem caused by an imbalance of reproductive hormones. Like, it's just an imbalance. Well, it's like, okay, well, what causes the imbalance? And,
right.
You know, Google says that it's, you know, chemical imbalances can be caused by a woman's period or pregnancy or menopause. The natural stages that a woman is supposed to go through is supposed to be some unnatural imbalance. And it's, no, that's normal. It's shit you're putting in our food, but I digress.
Yeah, the deodorant that we're putting on and the mm-hmm. makeup on our face, which I see these girls do these reels on Instagram, and it's like they're nearly eating foundation. And I'm like, can you just stop? Like,
all that shit's going into your pores, honey.
Mm-hmm. Gross. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't ever wear makeup, obviously, but
same.
There's a lot of people that put like put it on every day to a very high level. And so this,
yes,
your skin absorbs it. Your skin absorbs it. So what are they going to think? Oh, yeah, you know, a lot of young women are, you know, using these skin products, even if it's just down to like skin products. Like personally, and my mom, she has a shop, and but she only sells these handmade creams with natural ingredients, all natural. And you can use like coconut oil and stuff, but these like big companies who charge an absolute bucket load of money for these creams and stuff, which barely do anything, they're just full of these chemicals and ingredients
that toxins
actually get taken in by, yeah, it's soaked in. So that's why people who are severely celiac can't have anything, or shower with or bath with anything or shampoo with anything with gluten in, because your skin absorbs it. So if it's absorbing that and you can have a reaction if you're celiac, then any normal person can, you know, can absorb these chemicals. And when it's daily, every day, non-stop, just constantly put it on, like, it's gonna cause a problem. But yeah,
think about makeup, perfume, deodorant. Think about tampons, dude. The polyester shit and the fiber and everything that goes literally in us,
right?
Like, and it's a completely normal thing for everybody, and people don't even bat an eye.
Well, like dude, this is funny. It's not funny at all, but it's something that, this is a topic that I've been, the whole tampon towel topic for me. So I started my period when I was 8 years old.
Oh, and my God, girl.
Yeah. And my mom,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You're telling me, like, oh, my mom, when it happened, my mom was so distraught. She was like, oh, like, she's so young. I remember when the junior school had to have bins put into the toilet because no child had ever needed it at junior school. So I felt like the prize dickhead, like, you know. Here's me with the period. But back then though, when you're like eight, man, like, it's bad. You're like, oh, there's something wrong with me, I'm broken. But my mom, even, and I see why, because I was eight, never ever wanted me to use tampons. Ever. And I never have. I've never used them.
Same with my mother.
Yeah. And now I look back, like you just said, because the rise in young women having cervical cancer and whatnot, I'm like, is that anything to do with the bleach that they put on these things that are in you for, like, I don't know how long tampons are in for. Like, is it supposed to be like 3-4 hours or?
Yeah, 4 hours is like the max.
Yeah, some girls forget to take them out, then they get toxic shock syndrome, and it's just like, well, okay. But there's a lot of crap on those things that, you know, is no good.
And they sell like natural tampons and stuff like that too, with no added bullshit, and it's just cotton, but it's like they're super expensive, or they're not like as comfortable as and easy to use as the other ones, and that's a whole mess in itself. But also, birth control is insanely fucking toxic for your body. Right. And this is something that I wanted to bring up too, was because like birth control is a synthetic hormone, and you know, Google was listing birth control as a solution to help with symptoms of like polycystic ovary syndromes, and actually no, it was a solution for the imbalance of reproductive hormones. And so that's what Google was saying, whereas DuckDuckGo was like, no, birth control is actually the cause of imbalance of reproductive hormones. Absolutely. And it was, think back, I don't know if you get these ads, but I get them every fucking day, whether it's on Snapchat, scrolling through Instagram, back when I was on Facebook, I saw them all the time, and it was like, I just ordered my birth control over an app. I didn't have to go see a doctor. It's so easy. Get your birth control ordered now. Like, that has been a rise within the past 12 months that I've seen. Right. And it's like, okay, well, you could use the excuse of COVID and you can't go to the doctor or something, like, whatever the fuck. But it's, no, it's infertility. And I don't think there's any coincidence with the vaccine. And I think it was on page like 30 or 32 of like the symptoms of the vaccine, but it was telling men to freeze their sperm and telling women to freeze their eggs because the vaccine could cause infertility in you. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what vaccine, but it was here in America. It was like the biggest one here in America,
the one that everyone's fucking getting. Yeah. And they're telling people,
yeah,
they're telling people not to have it if they're trying for a baby, which is like, whoa, okay, that's a bit weird. you should be like, you know, perking your eyes. Why
can't I get a vaccine if I'm trying for a baby? Oh, is it going to make me infertile? Oh, why are you giving this to the general public then? Like, it just leads to more and more questions if you have any sort of critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
And you never know that you're infertile until you try. So that's the other thing. You know, it's not something that, you know, you're not going to get a massive, like, huge spot on your nose every day and you realize, okay, yeah, there's something wrong here. You're not going to know until you try, and then it's going to be too fucking late. But I was going to say something and it's completely gone out of my mind. I think it was just before birth control. Oh yeah, well, I think there's two things. Mine's always going.
It's okay.
But we were talking about like the fibers and stuff from tampons. Well, people have been whinging, like, both genders, that, you know, the PCR test and everything that we're shoving up our nose and whatever leaves fibers, and it's like,
yes,
hey, you know, girls have only been sticking stuff with fibers up them for however long. No, there's going to be all sorts of crap that's going on in there up there. Like, I don't even want to think about it. I don't know how it gets flushed out, whether it does. I don't know.
I mean, it's not natural. It's all synthetic. I mean, tampons are synthetic, birth control synthetic. So it's like, we don't know how it's going to be in like 100 years and the findings that they find on it. And even if they do find findings, is it going to even be posted? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's almost like we need like freelance people who are just taking the data down to get all this information just to have for the future.
And then if we have the information, is it going to be done by an independent person, or is it going to be done by someone who's going to be given $40 million and paid off, you know, to say something else? We just don't know. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I was going to mention was they give, it's probably the same over there, but they're giving girls as young as 11 contraception here. And the other,
God.
Which is, it's just so insane to me. And this is, I watch talk about like the shift, the societal shift to do with, okay, when we move on to talking about this HPV shot for cervical cancer, which they're now giving to boys, as young as 12. I think you get 2 or 3 shots. And we have Gardasil here now. But just before that, you know, you mentioned that you've been seeing ads. Well, our birth control is free here, which will piss a lot of people off listening. we don't get ads. We don't get anything like that. Because obviously you guys, I guess, have to pay for your birth control.
Yes. Yeah, it's typically covered by insurance, but somebody pays for it.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, the fact that you brought up the age, that like girls that what are as young as like 11, 12 years old are getting it and it's free. There's two things. It's a double-edged sword with that, because societal, if you're looking at it through like society's eyes, you see the over-sexualization of young women.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what they push. They push porn on young boys and everything like that. And they make it seem like, oh, it's, you know, it's a man thing, whatever. And then with women, they over-sexualize us. And, you know, it's Cardi B that's, you know, the hot topic right now, and, you know, her fucking performances and whatnot. But there's that aspect of it. We're like, oh, you know, you're 11. You're about to start your period, or you're already on it. Like, you're going to be having sex soon. And we just, you know, the parents don't want you to get pregnant. I was put on birth control at 14 to regulate my period. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother fucking issue in itself. It's like, instead of looking at the underlying problems of why my period was crazy, why I had a bunch of acne, it was like, let's just put a blanket over it with birth control and let's just hide it and make the problem go away instead of addressing what was causing it. But there's also the other side of it at that age where it fucks with your brain, because your brain is still developing. And a big side effect, some of the mild side effects for birth control is like mood swings, decreased libido, nausea, regular bleeding, stuff like that. But the mood swings specifically, I struggled really bad with depression, and it wasn't until I took myself off of birth control by my own choice. Mm-hmm. Didn't even tell my doctor, told my parents to fuck off about it. I went through the worst withdrawals for about 2.5 weeks. I mean, I had the cold sweats, the hot sweats, I was shaking, my mind was racing, like, it was awful. So just...
Wait, Carter, you still here? Okay, we lost her. Oh, no.
Can you hear me?
You're back, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. I got a phone call.
You're all good.
My bad. But yeah, the mood swings with it. Because of the depression, I took myself off of it. And then about, it took my, you know, my brain, I guess, 6 to 8 months to kind of recoup and go back to normal. And that whole time period was just hell. And yeah. I never wanted to go back on it. I was, nope, fuck that. But just taking birth control at a young age is fucking with these girls' minds, their right. brain chemistry. And it causes very severe depression, very severe anxiety. God knows what else. I mean, those are just the two that I experienced from taking it. But it's prevalent in all my friends who have taken it as well ever since a young age for the same reasons, to control acne or your period or whatever. It's insane.
Yeah, if you're sexually active, just take birth control and then the guy doesn't have to really worry about it. Not that I'm dragging guys here, but, you know, that's the the norm. And it's so interesting that you say, like, you know, you had that withdrawal time and then even months and months afterwards. But that's, you know, it's pharmaceutical drugs. Like, personally for me, I have to take, it's a complicated story, which is probably too long for this specific podcast. But I have something called PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is like PMT on steroids. It's not just me in a bad mood. I actually took myself off birth control because I believed that at the time it was messing with my moods. But you see, the thing is with all of this is that my dark night of the soul all happened at the same time as everything that was going on when I was taking all of these different prescription drugs, and I don't know which is the source of the problem. Right now, though, I'm not taking antidepressants anymore. I'm not taking that hideous drug called sertraline, which I think is Zoloft for you guys.
Yes, it is, because I took it too. It's funny that I was just about to ask you if you ever took an antidepressant post taking birth control.
Yes,
you have.
Yes.
Imagine taking your birth control pill and feeling depressed and then taking an antidepressant to handle your mood swings or your hypersensitivity and then adding on that antidepressant. It's going to contribute.
I was just going to say, I totally agree, because there'll be so many women, won't there, who are on both or even three
that
things.
That also feeds right back into the infertility, because both antidepressants and birth control lowers your libido, and that's just your sex drive, yes. But like, that's going to be noticed by yourself. That's going to be noticed by your partner. That, you know, take that into a societal outlook, and that's going to increase, you know, the over-sexualization is just so prevalent and so extra. And that, you know, if you have a low libido, if your partner has a low libido at home, and then, you know, you see like all the Tinder fucking ads, and it ups the cheating shit. It ups the regular partnership that God has intended for everybody. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it destroys all of that. That's mm-hmm. just from a societal standpoint. But when you're looking back at the medical stuff, it's like, it completely fucks with your brain chemistry. It makes you sad. It makes you depressed. It makes you anxious. And then you try to cover it up with more medications instead of looking at the root problem. And that's a big thing. That's a big problem for Americans. I don't know about the rest of the world, but big pharma, go fuck yourselves, man.
Yeah. Agreed.
Go fuck yourself. I think they create a problem and then sell you the fucking result.
Yeah, just like they're doing right now with this freaking shit they're giving.
Yeah. They created the fucking problem and they're gonna try to sell you this bullshit to fucking create more problems.
We let it out of a lab, but we'll fix it for you. So what was I gonna mention? There's a little bit of a movement here in the UK of getting rid of birth control. There's a little bit of a
talk about that. We're on a 10-minute warning, so please,
that's
I
want to
hear about this.
We'll start to wrap it up. But my friend, she is, I think, 18 months sober, maybe a bit more now. She got sober. She's same age as me, 29. Okay. And she'd been drinking since she was like 14. So she got sober, but also she's also stopped taking the pill. And I've noticed the things that she shares. There's been other women that are doing the same thing and doing these amazing things on Instagram to make other women aware. And I love it. Personally, like, just touching back on this, the PMDD, I have to take, it used to be called Cerazette, but now it's called Digestrol, I think. Got it in front of me. I can't even say it properly. I don't know what you guys would call it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to translate everything as normal, but it's... Anyway, essentially, it stops me ovulating, which was... whenever I ovulated, I watched die. So my pill, as much as I hate taking it, as much as some days I'll miss it because I just don't want to take it. I shouldn't. I need to take it every day. But it actually keeps me alive from that standpoint. But I am... And this is what bugs me is usually you'd see on Instagram someone commenting and saying what I'm saying and being like, so you shouldn't judge everyone based on what you want. But no, that's bullshit.
It's all consciously done. At least you know
what I'm you're a rare. Doing. Yeah, I'm a rare example. But I know the effect that this particular stuff has on women. And if you don't have the same thing that I have, you should probably get yourself off it. Because, I have a friend also who was struggling with his partner, and I said to him, have you looked at, does she take birth control? It was the first thing that I asked, because he was like, you know, I don't know whether we should split up, and she doesn't want to ever sleep with me, she doesn't ever want to do anything physical, not that that's
low libido,
anything. Exactly, and she's always depressed, and she's got this, you know, terrible, I said the first thing, like, is she on birth control? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, you need to get her to speak to her doctor about it. Not that they ever do anything. Or try and persuade her to come off it, because it might help. Now, if I was a emotionally driven libtard, I would have been like, no, she needs to stay on that stuff. Like, it saved my life, so blah, blah, blah. But I'm not. Like, I can see why it might affect her. And it obviously was. She came off it. It took a little bit of time. But whenever I ask how they are now... spot on. So I'm like,
yeah,
oh, okay.
My coworker had that same exact issue like 2 months ago. She came up to me crying, and she was like, you know, my boyfriend and I, like, he's so upset with me, like, he went off on me the other night because I never want to have sex with him, and da 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 da. And like, yes, that sounds vain, but okay, sex is needed in a partnership. That's kind of like a main reason why you're dating somebody. Like, that, it's in our it's in our blood to procreate. So like, it's not so taboo to look that in the face and recognize it for what it is and be like, okay, it's a low libido issue. And I did the same thing. I was like, well, are you taking birth control? Because I had the same issue a couple years ago. Like, I had the same fucking issue that you're going through. And as soon as I got off of it, like you said, it took some time, but it's like things go back to normal. Your brain chemistry adequates itself back to normal.
And the fact they're pushing it on such, you know, young people, with the same with we've not touched on it, but we don't need to really go too much into it, because people will know this HPV shot to help with cervical cancer, which I don't think it's actually helped that much. Giving it to girls here at 12 years old,
that's insane.
And boys now too, for some reason, because essentially HPV, there's different strains of it, but there's four that can cause 99% of cervical cancers. And I remember the last time I went for my smear, and they said, we're just going to test you for HPV now. I was like, oh, okay, that's a bit weird. But she explained to me that they don't have the time to have a conversation with an 11 or 12 year old about how they shouldn't be having sex. It's easier to just do the test, get the test done, give them some birth control, kick them out the door. The parents don't give a shit. Why should I give a shit? There's too many of them. So,
oh my god,
I was like, I when I explained, she
like it's against a HIPAA law or something. Like, good lord,
you should have seen her face when I said, well, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I also don't, because I've only ever been with one guy. She was like, you know, just like jaw, like, oh, okay then. And it's like, let me sit in a room with these kids and tell them to stop having sex at 12 years old. Like, stop it.
It's an insane, concept to, instead of, you know, having society preach about, you know, being faithful in relationships and not being too promiscuous, it's quite the opposite. So it's like the doctors who actually care, they're in like this awful predicament where it's like they are trying to prevent something. I'm talking about the good doctors, not all doctors, because some are just, they just want the money, but they want to protect these kids. They want to protect people. They care about people, and they don't want this to happen and to spread. But it's like everything that all of these people are intaking from society, from their lives, you know, at home, through relationships, it's all over sexualized. And so, like, when people are having more partners and being more promiscuous and not using condoms or whatever, like, it's going to happen. And it's like, it's almost by design.
Yeah, absolutely.
Almost by design. If it isn't, it seems like it is.
Feels like when you wake up, everything is corrupted in some way, and you can see the agenda behind it. Everything, literally. Like, mm-hmm. I mentioned deodorant before. Most deodorants have aluminium in it. I'm not going to get onto the aluminium. It's also in vaccines. But yeah, like,
everything. Say that again.
Most deodorants have oh, because you say, is it, are you laughing at me because I say aluminium? Oh, fuck off.
Aluminum?
Illuminati? Wait, that's why you say it like that, is because aluminium is Illuminati.
Bam, we just cracked the code, y'all.
Shit.
We just cracked it.
Expect a nuclear bomb to go off somewhere right now. We fucking cracked it.
We won't be here tomorrow, guys. The code's coming for us tonight.
Steve's coming. Steve's on his way. But yeah, essentially, I mean, we could probably talk more and more about it. I'm sure that we'll get into it in some other podcasts, but I think the worry with you as well, you'll more than likely agree, is with this whole huge amount. Oh, the other thing. Well, let me finish that sentence. Sorry. I have a very, very small attention span. is that people... Is the whole fertility issue with this jab, essentially. That's what this podcast has been about. That's what we've been discussing. That's what we're worried about. It's, you know, if anybody else does want to come and discuss this type of thing with me, like, we're all for it, and we think that we definitely wanted to touch on it, because whilst
it's it's a whole, it's our future,
everything.
Guys, it's our future, it's kids, future. Like, guys, what, y'all want to have kids too, y'all want those little mini-me's and shit just as much as we do, and it's the whole fucking future of humanity that we're talking about right here with infertility.
Yeah, and people can say that it's a conspiracy and the scientists have said it doesn't cause it, but you just cannot know. We can't know, and that's the scary part. Even now,
big bad guys on TV are talking about depopulation and how the world is so overpopulated. It's not that much of a stretch to be like, oh, they want to make us infertile. How are they doing it?
Even though there's more than enough for everybody. But just to finish this whole AstraZeneca bullshit, they're saying now, because they're stopping trials with children because of this blood clot, they're thinking of making another vaccine for under 30s. Now, that is potentially where the issue is going to lie, I think. So what if all of this was to kind of kill the oldies? And because it is, it started already, but later down the line, what if this next one they want to try and bring on to us, which I think more people will have woken up by then, is the one for the under 30s that's going to affect fertility? We just do not know, but it's worth discussing and it's worth being cautious about, because taking that drug for a virus that's not going to kill you.
99.97% survival rate.
Is
yeah. Also, another thing that that I was thinking of when you were just talking about that is, yes, they can kill off a bunch of old people, but like that doesn't, in the long run of things, in the long stretch of things, that's not going to make much of a difference. That's not going to, it'll only depopulize us for a certain time period, because the ones who are still left are going to continue having children. Those children will have children. So it's, how do you decrease that issue? So we can depopulate. That's like a quick fix with the old people. But how long term are we going to maintain that population? It's by sterilizing us.
Yes. Completely.
Sterilizing our children that, you know, some of us will have. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
It is. It's scary. And no, we're not trying to fear porn you, but it's something that is just, it's good to be aware of so that you know what you're putting into your body, you know how you're living, and you can make those choices for yourself instead of just going along with what the big man on TV has to tell you every day.
Or peer pressure. The question that you've just got to literally sit down and ask yourself is, do I want children in the future, or do I want this vaccine to appease people. That's it.
Yes.
Because you know that you're not going to cark it from COVID. Like, you're more than likely going to die from a shark attack, to be honest. So you've just got to lay those two down and look at the future and look at what you feel. And your gut intuition tells you, and you'll come to the right answer in the end. But you have to also be aware of the two things to be able to lay that down. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's, well, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you for
perfect.
Thank you for joining me on this one.
Of course, girl. Hopefully, you know, we should do more like chick podcasts like this. This is cool. I feel like our chick viewers would like this, and even some of the dudes too. You know, why not? Por qué no?
I totally agree. Maybe we can get some other people on and have some. We could have. Actually, I don't know whether the guys would appreciate five girls, like, you know, trying to speak at one time, because they might be like, "Ooh, sounds like my house. I don't want to listen to that." But
right.
We could try it, maybe, if anybody else wants to join us. But yeah, thank you for joining, and see you on the next one.
Peace in the Middle East.
Technology of where we are is based on lies. You know, that coronavirus is lethal, that there was no prevention and treatment, that it's an emergency that requires social distancing en masse, which it doesn't, and that the solution was an mRNA vaccine that was safe and effective, which it isn't, and that it's causing huge harm. And we know as well that the more harm from these mRNA vaccines will happen in the years to come. So what I've been saying all along is anyone who's over 70 who gets one of these mRNA vaccines will probably be sadly die within about 2 to 3 years. And I would say anyone who gets the mRNA injection, no matter what age you are, your life expectancy will be reduced to, you know, die if you're in your 30s within 5 to 10 years. And you probably will have allergy, neurocognitive issues, inflammation, and of course infertility is the major one.